Welcome to the Every Nation New York podcast. Every Nation exists to help people know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Enjoy the talk.
We are so excited about Mother's Day. Really, you know, that's the only commandment of God in the Ten Commandments with a promise to honor your fathers and your mothers that it might go well for you and you'll live a long and blessed life. So next Sunday, we're going to honor our mothers. Those of us who have mothers, my mom is, thank God she's in heaven with Jesus. And I get to see her again one day, hopefully not next week. I love you, Mom. I'm just not in a hurry to be there. But so we're going to have a Mother's Day, and we want to encourage you to bring your moms and of course, to reach out to your moms who are away. We just had John Lupo texted me this morning. Some of you may know him. He's a businessman connected with our church and our various services. And he just texted me. His mom this morning went home to be with Jesus, and she's been battling for a while. And so we're praying for people who are missing their moms, and yet we want to remember our moms. And if you're a mom here with your children, then we especially want to honor you. And really, next Sunday, Mother's Day tends to be a very sensitive time for people who want to have children, for people who want to be a mom, they want to be married. There's a lot of different factors going on, a lot of different things that are going on, and it's something that we always want to be aware of. So next Sunday, we have a gift for everyone who wants to be a mom. we want to bless and really recognize spiritual moms, people who want to become. So, and by the grace of God, we have a special gift from Asmite. I don't see her here, but I know she's here. But she has donated. She's been working at Mount Sinai, and she's an amazingly talented woman. And she also has a line of products, beauty products, and several have to do with Moroccan oil for your hair, which is amazing. And she gave me some last Sunday, and I've been using it this week. Don't I look good? I mean, seriously, my hair grew a lot. I need a haircut now. But it's just sheeny, right? So thank you. I'm getting the thumbs up down here. So anyway, so this is going to be a blessing. Thank you, Asmite. I don't see you, and that she's very humble about these kind of things. But thank you. Isn't it a blessing? We can give a really nice product to everyone next Sunday. And in addition, we're gonna do something. Normally on Mother's Day, my wife Lynette or one of our pastors' wives are speaking because, you know, moms get moms, right? But next Sunday we're gonna go off road and go into a different kind of mom, one that we're very extremely really proud of, and that is our sister Favor, who grew up in Cameroon and she lost her parents and she began to raise her younger siblings. So you're a hero mom, is what you are, and she has forever been taking care of her siblings as a mom and as their sibling, but also their mom. And she continues to take care of them from a distance. And so she's our office manager, but she's also a preacher and a teacher. And it's amazing that God would lead us to ask you. She said just a few days ago, God dropped in her heart a word for mothers and for women who are waiting on God. And it's really a strong word. So I'm looking forward to it. Feel free to bring your friends. It's going to be a great Sunday. Okay. Praise God. Happy to be here today. We have been on this series that Jesus is the light of the world. And what we want to do today is really walk through this together, just some of these scriptures in particular. As I left off last Sunday, we talked about light and the connection with light with purpose. God's purpose for our life really lets us be lit up. When we know what God's purpose is for our lives, when we've made that connection, really and truly, it is a game changer. And I'm just so thankful that at a young age, God set me on a different trajectory. And I had the privilege of sharing just a little small piece of my story, thanks to a friend back here on Fox and Friends, that the whole nation could hear about a key encounter in my life that put me on a different trajectory. And God wants to speak to you about his purpose for your life. That transcends what you think your purpose for your life is. And there may not even be anything wrong with your purpose for your life. But But this is something that is greater than who you marry. It's greater than what career you choose. It's greater than a lot of things because it's God's DNA. It's God's will for your life. It's His purpose for your life that will put you on a different path and help you to overcome in life and enjoy His success. His success may not be what the world defines, but His success is even greater than what the world defines because it's eternal, it's perfect, and it doesn't harm you. God's success does not hurt you. Sometimes the world's success does destroy a lot of people. I mean, don't you just, isn't it heartbreaking when you see children who are pushed by their parents into become models and movie stars and all of that, and just the, often the tragedy that you see as a result. You can have all the success in the world and be miserable. I've met so many of you like that. Just absolutely miserable, can't get it together. But when you find God's purpose, it is a perfect, tailor-made match for your life and your future and who you are. And He wants to reveal that to you. And that's what we were talking about last Sunday. I want to get into this, dig a little bit deeper today, and then we'll see where we go from here. But we're just praying. Father, we just thank You this morning for Your presence. It is a joy and a privilege to worship You with other like-minded people who believe in going hard after God, who believe in lifting up our voices and, Lord, expressing emotion to You. Lord, and expressing our minds towards heaven and thinking about the loftiness and the greatness of our God. Lord, we ask You to fill this space and, more importantly, fill our hearts with Your presence and speak to us this morning in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, all right, Psalm 109, verse 105 says that the Word of God, Your Word, Lord, is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. That's what God's Word does. God's Word, you know, it may not be a searchlight, you know, a floodlight that gives you a lot of direction. It may just be what you need for today or this week. And that's all we need. And that's why Jesus taught us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. Not give us this day a years of rations and supplies. And, you know, I just love the prepper shows about the doomsday prepper people that are out there. I met a woman one time that she said, Pastor Ron, it's all going to go down any day now. And my husband and I, we bought a cave in Montana, and we've got all of our stored up supplies there and whatever, and you can come over and join us. I said, listen, there's no way. If it goes down, then I want to be with the people starving because the people with the food will be shot first. I'm just going to trust God to meet my needs, you know, and that was the end of that relationship, but that's okay. That's all right. God doesn't ask me to be friends with everybody. He just asked me to love everybody, and I love preppers, but, you know, it's a... But they're not really my friends, you know. They're just living out of fear. And you know, there's the fear and greed are ruling the world, right? But when you receive Jesus in your heart, you have a higher peace and a joy that just won't leave you. It doesn't matter what's going on out there. What matters is who's living on the inside. And so there are some things that happen when we get in touch with God's purpose. And that's what we want to mention. And the first of the three things that I'm going to mention, then we're going to talk just briefly about a little bit more about the how. That sort of ties in with last Sunday. But there are three things that happen that help us to get into the heavenly realm with God in Christ. And as Ephesians says, we're blessed in that heavenly realm. And it's something that my wife, Lynette, and I, and she's out speaking this weekend in Denver, but we talk about this a lot. We have so many trials. Does anyone like us just seem to be a trial magnet? Anybody else? I mean, if we have trials, we have things given to us, and then a minute later, they're taken away from us. We have things like, you know, children get sick all of a sudden in the strangest time, strangest way, you know, vomiting and things like that are happening, and then next thing you know, something else is going on, and yet we say to each other that regardless of what's happening down here, we're going to live above the clouds and above the turbulence. We somehow, some way are determining that what God spoke over us has more meaning than what's happening to us right here and right now. So the first thing that I want to encourage you in is the first thing that happens when you know and discover God's purpose for your life or you're moving in that direction is your faith level will begin to soar. Your faith level will begin to take over on your hard drive rather than it's all going to crash, it's all going to fall in, it's my life is ruined now that somebody left me or whatever. The first thing is that your faith really begins to get strong and solid, And when you're doing what God's anointed you to do, all of a sudden you live enthusiastically. You there's energy in your life. Jesus put it this way in John 4, verse 34, where Jesus looked at his disciples and he said, "My food," because they were trying to pull him away. "Lord, we know that you're hungry now. You haven't eaten. You need something." And he said, "My food, my sustaining source of life in me is to do the will of him who sent me to finish his work." That was what he said. I get energy from being alive. I get energy from serving God even when I'm hungry. I get energy from talking to people. And it's because he was living on purpose. Every day and every minute and every second of Jesus' life was living on purpose. And by the way, that doesn't just mean he worked all the time. It just meant that when he was in a work season, that he was energized by that. And there are so many like things you begin to think about in Scripture about, for example, the burning bush. There was this burning bush that Moses looked at and he said, "It's burning, but it's not consumed." And he began to look at it so much that he was drawn up to it. And you begin to think about that. That is a story of your life. When you're doing God's purpose, you're burning. But I want you to say this. You don't have to burn out. You don't have to be overwhelmed. Like, I'm doing all this and this and that. Well, are you doing God's purpose or are you doing things to please others? Because if you're doing things to just get the pleasure and the approval of man, yes, you're going to burn out. But if you're doing them because God anointed you to do it, God appointed you to do it, God called you to do it, you can bring on several 20-hour days and you're still burning on for the glory of God. All right. We're getting warmed up here. I can feel it. It's coming any second now. The Lord is going to help us. He's going to help me get you. Help me help you, rather. Your faith is going to be strong. Your faith is. Your faith is going to soar. The second thing is that your focus gets clear. You get clarity. That's a gift. Man, that's so wonderful. Do you know, I read something recently that the average human being has to make 35,000 decisions every day. There was research done out of Cornell University that stated even on food decisions alone, let me find this, 226 decisions on food alone. Children make an average of 3,000 decisions every day. Now it begins to tell us why it's important that we know God's purpose for our life. Because when we know God's purpose for our life, we can eliminate a lot of crazy decisions right away. They don't take any time. You know, there are things in all of our lives that we need to find God's reality for us, his purpose for us, but also to keep us into God's purpose for our lives. And I can tell you, and you probably would get this right away because I'm a pastor, the last thing that I want to do is bring shame to God's name or to bring shame to you in any level of association with me. I know that our pastoral team, Pastor Nathan, Pastor Brian, Pastor Bruce, we all feel the same way. There are certain things that we cannot do that civilians maybe can do, people outside of the army and the purposes of God. There are certain decisions that we know that morality is a foundational premise for who we are as people and what we do. We can't just make decisions that are casual and make mistakes. And for me, that's good for me because my mind can stray, my eyes can wander. There are certain, I could just see myself as a Christian. Well, I can take certain liberties. But when you're constrained by the purpose of God, you don't just go there. You don't just click that button. You don't just go to that particular event. There are certain things that you know you have to stay away from and you have to run from and be pure of. There are certain things like that are just realities for us. I would probably describe it much like horse blinds. Do you know a horse can actually see what the way its eyes are there on the side? They actually can look back behind it, and it can definitely look to the side. So when it's running a race, they'll put blinders on so that they will not look behind them and not look beside them, but always stay looking for what's in front of them. And there's a scripture where Paul says in Philippians 3:13 that we forget what lies behind and we press on to what lies ahead. And that's what Paul the Apostle said. Here's the one thing I do. I forget what's behind me that I could press on to what's before me. I wish that we could all just wave a wand and just say we can forget the past. We can forget the things that we regret. We can forget our many mistakes. Oh, my goodness, I wish I could go back in time. But instead of living in that regret, God calls me to put on my eyes straight on Him and continue to walk in His purpose for my life. That's greater, and that can't change the past, but that keeps me going into the present and into the future, full of faith and for the glory of God. When Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River by John the Baptist, it says that a dove, or the Spirit rather, the Spirit of God, appearing like a dove, came into Jesus at that moment. And there's one thing about a dove's sight, is that a dove has singular vision. It cannot take on multitasking at different things all at the same time. A dove can't do it. It's singular. It's focused. And when the Spirit of God fills us, we too become of a singular focus. We focus upon God and His purpose. And the Holy Spirit is constantly helping us to walk with God and live in focus and in clarity for the greater things that God's called us to do. Focus will help us to be better. Focus will help us in so many ways and in so many situations. There was a young man named Antonio that lived and grew up in a small Italian village. And it's a village that was known for its musicality. And Antonio, his parents wanted him to sing. And every time he would sing, it was so bad, they said, don't sing. They just said, let's get real here. And they tried out different stringed instruments. And they said, Antonio, don't play anymore. We give up on you for that. Here, take this wood and take these tools and whittle and carve. Just whittle and carve. And he actually was good at that. He had a gift of sort of craftsman-type gift. And little Antonio became so good, he became an apprentice for a violin maker. And when he died, he had created 1,500 violins by the name of Antonio Stradivarius. And that's his story. He tapped into his gift. He began to discover what he was made for, which is not necessarily doing God's purpose. However, the gifts that God gives you, the inclination that God gives you, are signs of where He's leading you and where He's taking you. The two are not necessarily the same, but every gift for everybody, whether you know Jesus or you don't know Jesus, I believe those gifts that are for good purposes are the gift of God in your life, and they're signposts of where He wants to lead you and where He wants to take you. And then when you find God's purpose, you also find the why behind God's purpose. There's an alignment in your life and in my life in all of these things. So faith and focus begin to get strong in our lives. And we're not, when they do, because of God's purpose, we don't get distracted as much as we used to. I still get distracted sometimes. Sometimes I'll be tired and I'll sit in my chair. I have an ugly brown remote chair that my wife, Lynette, has been trying to get rid of for years now. It is the one piece of manly remembrance in my life that I'm hanging on to. I'm literally hanging on to it. Sometimes she's like, I'm going to get rid of this. I've called someone to come and pick it up. I call them and I said, no, you're not picking it up. If you want to live, you're not picking up my brown, ugly recliner. I'm keeping it. And there are times when I have the remote in that, I'll begin to watch TV. And part of that is okay. You know, it's all right. No, there's no criticism for me at all for gamers and people who do things and whatever. I'm just really talking to myself here about sometimes I'll get excessive and I'll binge TV watch. Like I'll rent movies. And next thing you know, it's like it's 4 a.m. What are you doing, Pastor Ron? Well, I just wasted some time on no good stuff. But that's okay. We always get up. I'm doing it a whole lot less than I used to do it. I used to do it as my life. That was my life. Now I do it as sometimes I binge at times. It's like eating too much, like one of those food decisions, 220-some decisions. You know, some of you are out there trying to make a decision. Do I eat a donut or do I eat this or do I eat that? And then some of you decide I'll eat one of each. And that's okay. We make mistakes sometimes. That's not best for me. It might be fine for you. But we all have to basically find our path, and knowing the purpose of God constrains us and keeps us focused and going into purposeful living. And it also just really, I'm gonna basically just give an analogy here. I hope you'll forgive me. This may not work in New York City, but there's a saying that I'm from the South. You probably know that, but I grew up there. But there's a saying there that dogs in the hunt aren't worried about the fleas. Now, if you've never seen a bird dog in action, honest to goodness, it's amazing, because they are doing God's purpose to find the bird that somebody shot. Now, I'm sorry, it's okay. I mean, if you eat it, then don't criticize me, all right? Because it ended up on your plate somehow, all right? So, but if you don't eat it and you're upset and you're offended, then please talk to me after, and you can talk to my attorney. No, I'm just kidding. I don't have an attorney. But anyway, so the dogs in the hunt aren't worried about the fleas. What are we saying there? That when they're in pursuit of what they're doing, they don't care what tick, what flea is on them. They don't care. And when you're a child of God and you're doing what God's called you to do, it's like Jesus just looked at them and said, don't worry. Don't worry. I'll eat later. My food is to do the will of him who sent me. And, you know, you think about all the offenses, all the little things that happen, all the little skirmishes, all the little things that we get, we nitpick about and whatever. Can we just let them go and live on purpose for God? Human beings will never meet all of your expectations, nor will they satisfy everything in your life. They will let you down, but God's purpose will never fail you. And sometimes those things that happen in our life are refining us so that we can press forward with more fervency, in the recognition that really only God matters in that sense. People matter too, of course. I was thinking along these lines about in the book of Judges, there's this story of Gideon where he had God was telling Gideon that he was going to lead the way and overcome the enemies, the Amalekites and all the Ites. And he told him, he said, Gideon, I'm gonna give you an army, but I'm gonna whittle them down to the dedicated 300. And at that particular point, he had 22,000 with him. And then God said to Gideon, let them all go up to the river and drink, because they were exhausted and thirsty. And he said, there are those who put their face in the water and lap it up like a dog. This is what the scripture says. He said, let them go. He said, however, for those who are kneeling down on their knee, and they scoop it up with their hand, and they keep their eye forward, he said, those are the ones who I've chosen and assigned to be with you. Because out of those 22,000, only 300 were really focused on the battle ahead. And God says, I choose them to walk with you and go in. And they dispossessed those nations, and they brought God's kingdom into that place. You begin to think about, what does it take? It really doesn't take much. It just takes being aware and alert and willing to go into God's plan and purpose for your life, and don't let anyone stop you from doing what God's called you to do. No settling. No just like giving up. No hanging back. None of that. God is keeping us. God is empowering us. God is filling us with his Spirit. And he does not want us to settle. Numbers 32, 1 and 5 tells us the tragic story of two of the first tribes of Israel. When they were going in to possess the land, God gave them the land, showed them where to go. And there are two tribes, the Reubenites and Gadites, who had large flocks and herds in these lands. And they wanted to just settle right there because they had so many sheep, so many herds. They said, we'll just take this land on the east side of the Jordan River and not going into the promised land. And in verse 5, they even cried out. They said, if we found favor, Moses, in your eyes, let this land be given to us as our possession. In other words, we don't want to go all the way in there. They were the first ones. These tribes were the first to lose everything under the Assyrian raid. They were the first to be swallowed up because they were vulnerable and not protected. And I just think so often, what do? We just settle for something. Oh, I'll just settle for that. Look, God is not interested in average. You're not average. You are not average. If you're called of God, if your name is written in the book of life, you're not average. Sorry. You're not mediocre. You're great. You're wonderful. You're born awesome. Not just born, but you're born again. You're a child of God. You're royalty. God's for you and not against you. He's going to help you. You've been beat up so many times, you don't remember what it's like to win a fight. Well, and I've been there so beat up, so knocked out so many times, or knocked down rather. But the scripture says you may be knocked down, but you're not knocked out. And I want to tell you the 15 count is not over. The 10 count, rather, is not over for you. And you're going to get a new breath, a new life, a new freedom, a new anointing to get up again. And if I've ever been in a city that is more harsh on its inhabitants than New York City, I don't know where that is. Maybe it's in North Korea. This city is tough. This city beats on us. This city is merciless. This city is ruthless. You have just the traffic alone, the complexity of the city, the details of the city, the expense of the city. How is it that I walk 3 blocks, hear 20 F-bombs, and lose $40? What is that all about? Where did that money go? Seriously. But I'm going to get up tomorrow because I'm a man on purpose, and I will not get off of the place that God's called me to be. I will not stop doing what He's called me to do. I will not give up or quit, because greater is He that is in me than they that are in the world. All right, now I feel a little bit better. All right. You can't settle. You can't just say, oh, he's good enough. Oh, she's good enough. No, God has somebody for you that is going to thrill your soul. You're going to be more alive when you meet this person. Not like, oh, I'll just carry him or her along into this marriage. No, you should be excited about someone. I hear this sometimes. I hear so many horror stories of people just sort of caving in and settling. Don't settle. We're always given the opportunity to settle. We're in this apartment search right now, and it's not easy. How did prices go up 4,000% since the last apartment? What happened? Who's been swallowing it all up here? But you know what? It's like a needle in a haystack. But pray for me. By God's grace, I will find that place. It will be in my budget. God will meet my needs according to His riches and glory. I am going to get my little girlies out of the closet, and they're going to have a bedroom of their own, so that for this one sole reason, that when they're 18 years old and they get feisty with their daddy, they're not going to have this bad memory of sleeping in a closet and say, I grew up in a closet. My mom and daddy stuck me there, and I need to go see a therapist. I'm not going to have that happen to me. And that's not happened, because the closet can breathe, all right, and they actually love it. But it's time to move on, right? When you're 4 and a half, it's time to be 5 and a half. You hear what I'm saying? This is for you. You know what I'm talking about. The enemy does not want us in the city that is on this map, that is the most globally influential city in the world, and we're in almost the bullseye of where it's going down. This is one of the spots in the world where the action, the real action of transactions, are taking place. And it's our time to be God's people and find God's grace and find God's purpose, so we can rise up and pull out the weapons of God, the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of truth, the feet shod with the preparation of the good news of Jesus. It's time for God's people to shine. And there are several other great churches in this city, some far greater and mightier than ours. But what I've seen here, the history of this, is God brings some of the best and some of the brightest, and God fills us with the Spirit. We may start out like an empty bucket, like Jesus' mama said to his son, to her son Jesus, fill up those, do whatever he says. And then Jesus said, fill up those buckets. And they were empty, but they filled them up to the brim with water. And that's what the Lord's doing. He's filling us up to the brim. He's getting us full. He's taking out excuses. He's getting rid of our sin. Come on now. I know you don't want to say amen. So, well, that wasn't for you. That was for the church down the street. That was for Times Square Church over there, all right? Get rid of your sin. No, I'm talking to you and me and us. Sin is just sitting, S-N-I, neutral, N. Sitting in neutral. We're stuck because of our sin. We let that go, and one day later, we're off in the purpose of God. I am watching God restore some individuals so fast, it is absolutely frying my system. When you watch someone that lives such a wretched, nasty, dirty, horrible life, deceitful, lying, all that. And they have a genuine repentance. Come and just tell me. And I'm like, man, you lied that much. Wow, dude. You know, and I wanted to give them the 10-year consignment, you know, rehab, everything else. But God didn't see him that way. God restored that man. That dude is succeeding. He's blowing up. He's on fire for Jesus. And that's all it takes, because the blood of Jesus is indeed that powerful. That when we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of our sins. He will cleanse it out of us so we don't even want to do it again. It just makes us sick. My daughter got sick the other day, and she's convinced it was yogurt. And the twins are not fair. Anybody have twins? They will gang up on one parent. They will gang up. And I said, no, it's not the yogurt. You have a virus. And then her sister begins to defend her thesis that yogurt made her sick. What do you know, girl? You didn't get sick. You ate the same yogurt. I'm here. I'm talking to four-year-olds like they're 16. I guess I'm getting ready for the big fight, right? So it's coming. It's definitely coming. And I'm going to be strong by the grace of God. You're going to see an old man get young. Come on now, Michael Jackson kick right there. That's just one of the many right there. All right. I don't know where that came from. Forgive me. Okay. I was just thinking about settling. There was a time when I was in Guangzhou, China. And I was supposed to be there. This is many years ago. I was supposed to be training people there and training them in scripture and stuff. And my interpreter caused me to be just a few hours late. And this thing was all set up. It was my first big trip to China. And I was just awed. And my kids were young. They smuggled in all these Bibles. And it was quite an awesome time. We were just there on God. And I was going to go train for 3 days in what they call a training center. But if once the people are in there, they stop letting other people in because it's too dangerous. It's too risky because it's considered illegal activity. And so they because I was 2 hours late, they told me, you guys can't come in. And I can't even begin to tell you how disappointed I was. It was my first trip there. I was in my young 30s, and I was just so excited about being there and serving this historic, monumental underground house church movement and the leaders. And then, you know, and then I went back to my hotel defeated and like, what are we going to do? And then my interpreter said, well, why don't we just go to the Guangzhou Zoo and why don't we just do some tourist things? Because we were also going to Beijing. And I just said, you know, I appreciate that. But I didn't come here to be a tourist. When God saves you, you know what? Things change. I didn't come here to tour around. I came here to serve God. I came here to do what he's called me to do. I came here to preach. I came here to, and we just sat together for a few hours, and we just started praying. And then I got a phone call from an old church member who had happened to move back to that city, and he said, hey, at midnight tonight, I want to bring some people into your room. I know it's late, but can I do that? I said, yeah, bring them. I said, are these people, do they know Jesus? He said, no, they're communists. They're Chinese communists. I said, all the better. Bring them in. I've got a Bible for each and every one of them. So they came in that night. We stayed up till 3 or 4 in the morning. And then they came back the next night, and the crowds began to grow in this room, this little room. And then by the third night, we're baptized and in the bathtub. I mean, people are getting saved. They're coming to Jesus. They're giving their hearts to Jesus. And we started baptizing so many people that it was a church. And my interpreter, who is a professor in Taiwan, has his PhD, and his wife has her PhD. And they decided, as a result of that, they'd take a 90% pay cut, move to China, become the pastors. And now it's about 3,000 people in our church in Guangzhou, China, several site locations. But it was just all for me. It's like I could have settled. I could have just said, yeah, let's just give up on this. You know, this is our day. This is a decision. So do you ever want to quit on the Lord? Come on now. Somebody asked Pastor Ron, do you ever want to quit like 3 times a day? Yeah. 3 times a week? No, at least 3 times a day. Yeah, it's a thought. But it's a diminishing thought. Because now it's like there's something that just kicks in that's greater. God has shown me in my hard drive. Time and time again, you stay with it, you watch. You watch what happens on the other side. There are people that are giving up their posts, and God says, okay, if you give it up, he just moves someone in that space, and they have to take over what you or I were called to do. We must stay focused. We must stay on task because God has this amazing plan for us. And this is where we get Romans 8, 28 from. This is where it comes from. This is a verse that we are all familiar with. We know that God causes all things to work together for good. That's not fatalism. Look at the rest of it. All things to those who are called according to His purpose. Now, you've been called according to His purpose. And it's for you that God causes all things. How many things? You got to get this because you really, many of us, we believe this in our head, but when something's happened, now it does not say, Paul doesn't say, God causes all things. God's not causing all things. It does say that we know that God causes all things to work together for good. Who's good? You're good. My good. Even when it's bad, even when it's terrible, even when it's upsetting, even when it's unnerving, even when it's a family member who passes away, which I've had happen to me, a son, even when it's you have financial loss, even when you have friends who betray you, and you're like, where did this come from? But God takes those tragic moments in our life. He pulls it together, and he's causing it somehow, some way to work together for our good, because we've been called according to His purpose, and we don't ever let go of His purpose. And this is the power that God gives us in purpose. We stay focused. The third thing is that we're richly fulfilled, is fulfillment. That happens in the call of God. David, it says in Acts 13:36, serve the purpose of God in his generation. That's David. Abraham, in Genesis 25:8, says that when he breathed his last, it says that in a ripe old age, that he was a man who was satisfied with life. That's my end goal right there. I want to breathe my last one day and be satisfied. And the third is Paul. And I could go through just about every character in the Bible, male, female, young, old, all of these people, they have a similar story to tell. Paul said, I've fought the good fight, finished the course, kept the faith. In the future, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me. Fulfillment. Now, I feel like I'm one of the most blessed people. I've been through a lot. But I feel so blessed to be able to say that if I went home to be with Jesus tonight or tomorrow, I can just honestly say, glory to God. Glory to God. I've lived for your purpose. It's not been my idea to be here today. It's Jesus sent me. Jesus sent me here. Jesus called me here. It's not been my plan even to go to China. Jesus called me there. Go to Korea. Had an apartment in Korea. I spoke a little Korean. Forgot every bit of it. I forgot so much. I've tried it. I've practiced on people. It's offensive to them. So I've quit that. But, been to Egypt. It's amazing what God does. The main thing is really about helping people. That's what it's all really about, adding value to people. And when we help people to find their purpose, there is really hardly any greater value, except maybe to get them through crisis moments and help them, wrap your arms around them, help them in so many different ways. But we look at this, and this is powerful stuff. And as we said last week on the how do we get to our purpose, I just mentioned two little things here. And this is a reiteration of last Sunday, but you have to get it from God. There's no substitute. There's no, like, seminar you go to, like come find out your hidden treasure of your talent. I mean, all that is great. All that is helpful because all of it influences you discovering God's purpose. But ultimately, it comes from God, as Ephesians 1:11 in the Message Bible so beautifully said, it's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, He had His eye on us. He had designs on us for glorious living. Part of the overall purpose He is working out in everything and in everyone. We have to go to the source. We have to get to the source. Last week, I had a scary moment where I was carrying all my, in this apartment search, I was carrying my computer and all my financials in my black bag that I carry sometimes. And I usually don't carry it, but that particular day I had it. And I had so many things going on that day. I had meeting after meeting after meeting, meetings, church meetings, apartment searches, realtor meet. I mean, all these different things were going on in that day. And at around 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I was struck with horror. I don't have my bag anymore. My black bag is gone. Man, I've been all over New York City. My black bag's in New York City. And I started thinking, hey, do I have like findacomputer.com? I mean, is my on button, can Apple find my computer? And I called and they said, it's not set on. You're not turned on. So like then there's more condemnation. I forgot it and first of all, I didn't protect it. That's terrible. So what I did immediately is I ran to the previous place where I was and it wasn't there. Then I ran to the next coffee shop where I was, and I looked all, I was just like an idiot. I was just down there crawling around on the tables, looking at feet and legs and chicken bones, and I was like, where's my bag? And so finally, the manager came, and he grabbed me by the shoulder and said, are you okay? I said, man, I've lost my computer bag, and it's got everything on it. I'm just going crazy to have to find it. He said, it's not here. So then I left there. Then I went to the previous place. Then I went to another place. Then I went to one of the schools where we're looking to register the girls. And then I went to the original place, the original first meeting of the day that I had, and there it was right there, safe and secured all day long by its lonesome self. You see, sometimes it's a fight for you to go back to the source. And the source is God. The source is the Word of God. And really and truly, not to bring condemnation to any of us because we're so busy, but are we doing that? Is it a regular movement for us? Or do we remember? He's got the keys. He's got it all. Sometimes our kids, they run out into the car and they think they're going somewhere. I just dangle the keys. We think we're going somewhere without God. He just said, hey, you're not good. No, smarty. Come on over here. And he's merciful. But the second piece in closing here is we also are confirmed by our community of faith, our community. Scripture talks about listening to the voice and accepting instruction that we could grow in grace and grow in wisdom. Scripture talks about the purpose of pastors, the purpose. Hebrews 13:17 in the Message, it says that be responsive to your pastoral leaders. Listen to their counsel. They're alert to the condition of your lives and work under the strict supervision of God. Contribute to the joy of their leadership, not its drudgery. Why would you want to make things harder for them? The point is that sometimes people will come and they'll ask, like I'm in this situation, and we talk to them, and sometimes people come and they've already made a decision before anyone else can really even weigh in. And it's not always a bad decision. A lot of times it's a great decision. But I can assure you that pastors, at least in this church and on this team, have no desire or no interest whatsoever to control your life, but to bless your life. That's who we are. I want you to know that the pastors on this team are dedicated to God, to be before God, and to call out, as was said by somebody this morning, Connor or someone, we pray for you by name on a regular basis. We are up 2 mornings a week early, and sometimes it's all I have to slosh in, get my coffee, get ready. And when we pray, I can promise you there is an authority that comes through the telephone lines into the lives of the people we pray for, and we are watching. And this brother right here, Gabe, is leading the Friday morning. I lead the Tuesday morning. We are watching miracle after miracle after miracle happen. And it's because people are listening and we are getting wisdom and God is giving wisdom and God is on the move. The bottom line is this. He wants you to know his grand purpose for your life. It's like the American Express card. Don't leave home without it. Amen. All right. Let's pray. We just are so grateful, God. We're so thankful. So thankful, Lord. We just thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, that you're not stingy. You're gracious. You're God, full of riches, full of grace, full of remarkable wisdom. We just thank you, Lord. I just pray right now that the anointing of Jesus would just crush condemnation off of this congregation. Lord, I just feel so strongly that there are people that are not only beat up, but they're beating themselves up. In the same way that God has had mercy to forgive you, God wants you to forgive yourself. Being hard on yourself does not take the place in any level of what Jesus did for you on the cross. He defeated your enemies already. He's working out his wonderful plan. God, have your way. Let's stand up together as we worship the Lord one last time.
Thanks again for joining us at Every Nation New York City, where our vision is to partner with God and people to transform the city one life at a time.